Anda bersama SBS Bahasa Indonesia. Dapatkan lebih banyak lagi cerita bagus di sbs.com.au/indonesia.
Once you start normalizing really awful words and behaviors and attitudes, it does seep into you.
Pendengar, kita berjumpa kembali dalam episode Understanding Hate dari SBS Examines. Kali ini kita akan membahas tentang radikalisasi anak-anak muda. Para ahli khawatir bahwa pasca pandemi COVID dan karena evolusi algoritma online atau daring, kini terdapat potensi terjadinya radikalisasi massal. Jadi, bagaimana hal ini bisa terjadi?
I was really unwell. By the time I dropped out of school in year 10, I'd probably missed about 3/4 of high school. And because of that, I had a lot of time by myself online. A lot of time that I was really unhappy with myself. I became quite misanthropic and I was sort of lost and I was lacking direction.
Itu tadi adalah Jamie. Dalam perjalanannya mencari koneksi ketika remaja, ia menemukan teman-teman daring melalui game video dan juga chat rooms atau ruang obrolan.
It was still a sense of community that I didn't get in my real life at that time. Gaming isn't just about playing games. It's about being with people and sort of enjoying their company. And I think the company that I had, even if we were all a bit misguided at the time, at least we had each other in a way. I think that's maybe something that is quite hard to understand is if you're lonely, it's really hard to challenge the things you see and hear around you.
Jimmy mengatakan ia merasa terhanyut di tempat di mana bahasa yang kasar dan beracun dianggap sebagai hal yang biasa. Hal ini kemudian memicu gagasan-gagasan yang penuh kebencian terhadap dunia dan kelompok-kelompok tertentu.
We all thought was edgy, therefore it was fine because it was somewhat comedic, but reality is you don't realize you're that young how impactful these things are, not just on other people, but really on yourself. You do end up being a sort of a shadow of yourself. I said things to my sisters at the time that I'm deeply regretful of now. I feel embarrassed to think about.
Meskipun wajar bagi anak-anak muda untuk tertarik pada konten yang sensitif atau tabu pendengar, para ekstremis menyadari hal ini dan seringkali memanfaatkannya dalam perekrutan mereka. Berikut pernyataan dari Profesor Deborah Smith, pakar ekstremisme kekerasan dari Victoria University.
You know, a lot of their propaganda is really shaped to be interesting, funny, visually appealing. Young people can get emotional rewards from engaging with risk-taking, looking at taboo material, hanging with people who probably other people don't approve of. Whilst objectively it might be hateful, their experience and what's driving them may not be about hate. For the young person experiencing it, it can actually be a place of humor, of joy, of belonging, of acceptance.
Profesor Smith mengatakan, para ekstremis dapat merekrut para pemuda dengan mengeksploitasi kebutuhan mereka untuk memiliki koneksi atau keterhubungan dan juga rasa memiliki.
Young people are trying to sort of explore who they are, what they believe in, where and how they fit into the world. And unfortunately, violent extremist movements provide a really strong sense of identity, albeit a very unhealthy one, that can be appealing to some young people who may be struggling to build a strong sense of self.
Meskipun kita mungkin merasa prihatin atau khawatir, pendengar, ketika melihat seorang anak muda mengadopsi bahasa dan ideologi ekstremis, hal ini belum berarti bahwa mereka otomatis akan mengarah pada kekerasan.
Radicalization is the process where a person's beliefs and ideas start to significantly move away from what would be considered mainstream or generally acceptable. This in itself is not problematic because radical ideas and movements have often changed the world for the better. So an example of that would be the civil rights movement. And in this case, radicalization to violent extremism, we're talking about when these changes in beliefs and ideas lead to a person accepting that perpetrating violence is a legitimate way to solve their grievance or their problem.
Anda tidak perlu pergi jauh-jauh untuk menemukan konten dan para perekrut ekstremis. Bagi Jamie, pertemuannya ialah melalui game dan forum daring populer.
The majority of young people that I've worked with haven't actively searched for it. It's something that has been available. It starts where the kids already are. It's in things like gaming chats, short video feeds, social media platforms, those sorts of things, and not necessarily in the sort of dark corners of the internet that we would like to think.
Itu tadi adalah Peter Low, seorang praktisi anti-ekstremisme kekerasan. Ia mengatakan bahwa meskipun kaum muda dibatasi oleh faktor-faktor perkembangan dan sering dimanipulasi oleh para perekrut ekstremis, tidak akan membantu juga jika kita memperlakukan para pemuda ini seolah-olah sebagai individu yang tidak memiliki prinsipnya sendiri.
Because if you take away someone's agency, you also take away their ability to do anything about it. So I think it's helpful to talk about what are the factors that make someone, a young person or otherwise, vulnerable, but and what are some of the reasons why people might make choices that way.
Pada episode berikutnya, pendengar, kita akan membahas cara membantu para pemuda yang berisiko. Namun, bagi Jamie, ada percakapan yang membuatnya kemudian mempertanyakan keyakinan berbahaya yang ada di sekitarnya.
And that gave me such a great new perspective on the world around me and a realization that the horrible ways that the communities I've been in the past had made them feel awful.
Episode Understanding Hate dari SBS Examines kali ini mendengar diproduksi oleh Nick Sumbolis dan dibawakan oleh Tia Arda untuk SBS Indonesian. Untuk informasi lainnya, silakan Anda kunjungi sbs.com.au/sbsexamines.
Sukai, berbagi, komentar. Ikuti SBS Program Bahasa Indonesia di Facebook.